If you'd like a card to take notes, this is good, because then you can go home and check it out, study it up. We have these cards. If you want one, raise your hand. We'll get them to you. Besides, you're smarter than a fifth grader. This is a good way to be smarter than a fifth grader. You write it down. You write it down, and you go over it. So, or if you're like me, I have a notebook wherever I go. Praise the Lord. Can you close those doors, Scott? Just close those doors. Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you again in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you can be loud and Pentecostal, and you just go, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on. In the mighty name of Jesus. So if someone asks if you're Pentecostal, you are now. You can do that. All right, let's back to prayer. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you that your presence is here, because where there's two or more, the Lord is here. We thank you for your presence. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way here today. Have your way. Manifest your way. Open our eyes today. We open our hearts today. And we declare that our ears are going to hear what the Lord God has to say for me and for this house in Jesus' name. We thank you for revelation knowledge. That means it was like light bulbs went off. Revelation knowledge, all of a sudden, bling, light bulbs went off. How many of you need some light bulbs go off in certain areas of your life? Well, this is a good prayer. Holy Spirit, thank you for revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Pastor Sherry and I just got back from the Kenneth Copeland's Ministers Conference. So if I look like I had way too much coffee, it wasn't really coffee. It's just a wonderful time. And I want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you let us go. You send us forth. Because it is the best 3 days of my entire year. Don't tell my kids who I go on vacation with. But really, this is the best 3 days of my entire year. It's like having intravenous feeding and IVs pumped in you and vitamin B12s all over the place. So we just came back, just got some clear direction. I believe I always have direction, but I feel like I got some clear direction. And also, you know, there's a time of rest. You just can't be going 24/7. Some of you look like you've been going 24/7, all right? And there's a time of rest, and rest is, sleep is good. Your body needs a certain amount of that. Your body needs this and that. But there's resting in the Lord, and for me, resting in the Lord is just saturating myself, you know. Plus, when I go to these conferences, I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to go, it's too hot, it's too cold, the sound's too loud, did they show up? I just walk in. The hardest thing that Sherry and I do is, let's get a good seat up front. That's the only thing that we do that's hard. It's just terrific, terrific, terrific. So anyway, thank you. We just got back, and I'll tell you more about that as we go on. All righty. So how do I start and jump in? So while we were singing a couple of the songs, and then Sherry got up, I heard the Lord say this to me, and I'm going, oh, and he goes, oh, you better not say that. So I heard the Lord say this to me, and then I asked him what it meant, and now I know what it means. But he said, I heard these words, liar, 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 pants on fire. And I'm going, doesn't sound like God. No, it was God. And I said, Lord, what does that have to do with today? So I'll tell you. First off, when Jesus was taken, well, Jesus gave himself up, and he went on trial, right? He went on trial. You all know that story, all right? And they were lying, 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 a pack of liars there, right? They falsely accused him. It was horrible. At that time, what was his response? Before that? Nothing. He didn't come back at them. Listen. Okay, so some of you may think that's the way we do life now, but no, liar, 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 pants on fire. And after Jesus went to hell and grave and he rose again, he sat on the throne and he's forever seated there and he made a place for you there. Now we still have an accuser, but you need to open your mouth when the accuser comes. And he comes, and he has a pack of lies, and liar, 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 pants on fire. That's what the Lord said to say. The second thing, he's given you the armor of God, and one is the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. That sword is doing you no good if it's stuck in here. Uh-huh. You might have shined it up. Okay, but it is doing you no good if it's stuck in here. Where is the sword supposed to be? It says the sword is the word of God out of your mouth. The sword is the word of God out of your mouth. So when the liar, 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 pants on fire comes, you speak the word. All right, let's speak the word. So this is what I heard. Some of you have heard lies. Some of you have been given lies. Some of you have had doctors call you up with lies. Some of you look at your checkbook and it sure looks like a lie, according to the word of God. So let's say some things. Let's say some things. I don't know all of what's going on in your life. Some of you, you know, you call me up, you tell me what's going on. But some of you, you just told me a pack of lies from the liar. And the truth of it is that Jesus came and he set captives free. He set captives free. All right? And we appropriate it. We have to do something on our part. I don't have to work for it. I just simply have to say what Jesus has done for me. So on a count of three, I don't care who's sitting next to you, I want you to shout some words about your life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your body, whether it's relationship. I don't care what it is. It's your job. But on a count of three, we're going to say some words, because the word has set us free. Your Savior has set you free. And there's a liar. He's an accuser. And he's under your feet. He's under your feet. He's under your feet. But it's, you know, use your mouth. So that's what I heard. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You ready? One. By the way, you're supposed to be loud after this. You know, I hit three. And you get loud, and you just say whatever the real truth is, not the lie. Please don't tell me the lie. I don't want to hear any lies, okay? Lies. And when I heard that, all of a sudden my stomach started feeling icky. And the Lord said, you need to say something. Lane knows what's that about. Okay, praise the Lord. Isn't it fun to be in church? I'm telling you, I am having fun. I don't know about you. Okay, ready? One, two, three. I'm the healed. This pain is gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for all authority. Thank you that the word has set me free. Thank you. Thank you that I'm the redeemed. Thank you. I'm blood washed. I am no shame. Thank you that I am just awesome in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I really feel like I'm all over the place. That's okay. I know what I'm doing. Let's pray again. Okay, I'm going to start with a story. Really, I'm somewhere in between all this. Let me tell you a story, and that's going to kind of lead into our message, okay? Long, long time ago in a far, far away place, like 40 years ago, in Teaneck, New Jersey, I had just received Jesus. This is way 40 years ago. I had just received Jesus. I finally got a Bible. I knew there was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I didn't know anything else that was in the Bible. So I was basically pretty dumb, right? Just dumb. Ignorant, okay? But I knew somebody told me I needed a Savior. And I said, okay, I need him. And I, what do I do next? So I prayed this prayer. And believe me, I didn't know what I was praying. It took me quite a few years to figure the whole thing out. I think I'm still figuring out all that happened. So, but anyway, I knew, and that person says, well, you prayed this prayer. You are now a child of God. You're now saved. And I was like, oh, goody, goody, goody. So bless my family. Golly. So I'm home visiting. It was actually, I got saved. Okay, in the spring. I went home that summer, and I hadn't seen my one sister in a long time. And I'm telling her all about Jesus. I'm telling her how wonderful he is. I only knew two scriptures, so, you know, I just kept saying the same thing over again. Jesus came and he set me free. Jesus is, he's just wonderful. Jesus came and set me free. Jesus is wonderful. I just didn't know anything. And then she's like, whoa, Dee, you know, slow down. That's nice for you. And I said, she said something like, you know, I don't need that. Basically, you were a mess. You needed Jesus. I don't need that. I got it all together. I'm like, no, baby, you didn't. But I didn't say that. What I said is, well, you're going to hell. Yeah. Yeah, and she's like, bleh. I said, yes, if you don't receive the Lord Jesus, you're going to hell. All right, so why did I tell you that story? One, I was a little dumb. I did know Jesus, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. I did not know God. Because God is love. And I didn't know the Father God like I do today, or I'm still getting to know today. So today, we're going to talk about that, all right? We're going to talk about that all of us have the ability and the opportunity to know God. Everybody say, know God. Know God. You get to know, you have the opportunity, the ability to know an invisible God. Isn't that bananas? Yeah. You have an opportunity and ability to know an invisible God in a real big way. So, title of the message, and I'll explain later, hashtag know God better. So if you missed week one and two, you don't know what I was talking about. But write that down on your card title, all right? We get to know, we have the ability and we get to know God in an incredible way, like a best friend. That's what the Bible says. You can know God as your best friend. You need to stick that on your post-it note on your desk when your bosses just shredded you up and say, I know God, he's my best friend. You better not mess with me, okay? But we get to have the ability to know God as our best friend. How many of you have a best friend? All right. So interesting about bestie friends. Especially your spouse should be your best friend, but Jack was my spouse. He really was my best friend, and I knew him, and he knew me very intimately. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, when you have that best friend, that relationship, I know their heart. I really know their heart. Now, they can say some dumb things to me, but, you know, really, I know their heart. I know their heart. I know that because they're my best friend. Also, I know what they're thinking just by that look. And you ever get that look from your spouse and you go, oh, yeah, know what they're thinking, all right? All right, so listen. Now, it blows my mind when I think that I can know God just like that and even greater as my best friend. I can know God as my best friend. Everybody say that. I can know God as my best friend. I can know him as my best friend. Oh, my gosh. All right. So God has given us ways to know him better, like best friend. He has given us ways. And I'm going to talk about that today as we go on in the story. But you can know God better than your best friend. Just wonderful, 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 wonderful. Okay, now if you're a guest here, this is your first time here, and your first time here this year, you missed January 7th, January 14th, where we started our series called Goals. Goals, okay, and we call it hashtag goals, all righty, and why did we do hashtags? Because I don't know if you've ever looked on social media, you know, like especially Instagram, because really I only do Facebook and Instagram, and the rest of the stuff you'll have to sit down and explain to me. But I see all the time hashtag goals, like hashtag get in shape, hashtag relationship goals, hashtag life goals, and you know, just all these goals that people write and all over media. I'm like, people, you write too much on media some days. I'm like, really, really, like, oh my gosh. But this is it. So, you know, I kept looking at this and people writing things, especially January 1st. And I thought, you know what? We're gonna grab this and run with it. So we're doing a series on goals, hashtag goals. And today we're doing hashtag know God better. Know God better. All right. And guess what? You know, we can set goals, especially New Year's resolutions. Anybody do New Year's resolutions? I still do them. And, you know, I usually, by February, I failed. Anybody ever fail at all your New Year's resolutions? Yep. Okay, that's where I started thinking, I'm missing it. And I started asking the Lord, and this is where this kind of evolved, okay? So there's one thing to set goals, okay, and y'all need to set goals. Otherwise, you're going to sit, just like sit. And sit like that forever. You should set goals. Because God is the God from glory to glory and greater. That means he's moving. So you should be setting goals and moving, okay? So we can set goals, but I like getting them. How many like getting those goals all ta-da, I did my goal, all right? So there's a big difference in setting goals and then getting goals. So we're going to talk about that. So week one, I'm giving you the fast review. Week one, we went over six. I was going to throw one more in there. Six principles to set goals and obtain goals. If you do these six things, you will obtain your goals. Cross my heart and hope to live because I'm living. You know, cross my heart and hope to die. Isn't that the dumb thing? We say dumb things. Cross my heart and hope to die as your kid. Anyway, you may probably don't do that anymore because you're so cool. But anyway, title of the message, Know God Better. And this is about us getting to know God better. Everybody say, Know God Better. How many of you think that's a good goal for your year? It's a good goal. It's a good goal, right? All right. Now, there's a bunch of you like me. I have known God for over 40 years. But I still want to know him better. All right? And you could have just received Jesus 5 minutes ago, all right? And you can know God better. And you could be somewhere in between, and you can know God better, all right? And that's my heart cry. That's my goal. Praise the Lord. And now I will say, we will never know God down here all the way, all right, until we get up there, until we get to heaven. But while I'm on this earth, I have the opportunity and the ability to know him better, all right? So some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I'm just going to wait till I get to heaven. Come on. Come on, people. Okay, that's a whole nother sermon. Praise the Lord. So I want to know him better. So here's the main, and matter of fact, I not only want to know him better, I want to know him better than my best friend. Okay, you know. So main idea, main point, big point. The one thing I want you to be able to walk out of here understanding by the time you get down to that mailbox, you still got it in you. I want you to understand this so clear. You ready? Write this down. Main point. Ready? Ready? Praise the Lord. God wants to be known. God wants to be known. All right? God wants to be known. And that's kind of incredible. Just think about that. Now, some of you, none of you in here, that's our big joke. None of you in here are somebody else, okay? You tend to be shy or a very private person. Okay, none of you in here. Somebody else. You know somebody else, right? So actually, I used to be a very shy person, and then the Lord started helping crack the shell, and there's whole reasons why I was like that, and God's really brought me out. Golly gee whiz, I wouldn't even be up here if he hadn't worked on me, all right? So anyway, there are sometimes people that are shy and private, and if they were going to church, this is how it would go down with them. They would, like, come in after worship started and sit down. Usually in the back, all right? And then if, you know, they're that shy kind of private person, then it's like Pastor D always says, okay, we're going to close now. That's when they get up, go out the back door, and sit in their car. And it's not because they're rotten or anything like that. They're very shy or private, and they don't want everybody to know about them. They just don't want people knowing everything that goes on with them. They don't want them to know nothing about them. And I'm sure they all have certain people where they let them know them. But generally speaking, they don't want all of us knowing them because they're shy and private. Okay, now here's the crazy thing. God is just the opposite. God is totally opposite. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know everything about him. Think about that. Think about that. Praise God. So everybody say, God wants me to know him. God wants me to know him. And really, that's quite awesome. There's this prayer in the Bible, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you all open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, I don't care what version you have, we're going to read Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I'm going to read it out of two different translations here, and we're going to talk about this. But I want to tell you, this is a prayer that I pray for me, and I pray for you. And I pray for you, some of you, I pray for you a couple times a week. And this is one of those prayers you can pray a whole bunch of times, okay? So this is a prayer. This is a prayer that Paul wrote for believers, for people, okay? So here we go. Where am I, D? I'm going to read it first out of nope, that's not it. Where is it? Yeah, there we go. Ephesians 1, I'm going to read it out of the New King James first, okay? I do not cease to give thanks for you. Everybody say you. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's still praying. This is a prayer. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay, now I want to read this out of the Message Bible. Okay, this will really click in. Except for, where is it? Here we go. Message Bible. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and the outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, he's talking to believers here. He's talking to you. So you read this like he's talking to you. This is a prayer for you, okay? And so Paul says, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. How many think of me and give thanks? Yeah. Just look at your spouse and say, I think of you and give thanks too. All right. Praise the Lord. I think of you and I give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent. How many could use some more intelligence? Yeah. To make you intelligent and discerning. Now, this is where it goes. In knowing him personally. He's praying, and you can pray this for yourself. You can pray it for all the people that just ruffle your feathers. Okay, you pray this for them, that they may know God personally. Know him personally. Phew, I'm just going to close my eyes and chew on that. Oh, God, thank you that I might know you personally. Woo, okay, know you personally. Praise the Lord. All righty. You get to know God personally. And when you pray that for somebody, pray that for yourself, dear God. Pray that for yourself, but pray that for somebody. When you pray that, God comes in and starts working something on the inside that's going to flow out of the outside. God starts working in people when you pray that. Isn't that a good prayer? Praise the Lord. All right, now I've got another one here for you. Turn over to Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, chapter 13. Praise God. How many of you have the Message Bible? If you have the Bible app, that's a good one. You know, some days when you don't want to engage all parts of your brain, just read the Message Bible. It just gets it real simple and lights go off. Okay, that's a revelation. All right, so just my fun one that I keep. Praise the Lord. All right, you all at Philippians 2:13? Listen to this. For God is working in you. Say, God's working in me. God's working in you. God's working in me. Okay, God's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So let me say this. I can't take any credit for what I do or what I'm going to do or what I've done, okay? It was God. Let me tell you, it was God that put the desire in me to do what I do, to love him and to serve him, all right? All right? And every one of you that know the Lord Jesus, that are serving him, guess what? He puts a desire in you. He puts the desire in you, all right? He puts, because really, this was the last place I ever wanted to be. And most of you would say, yeah, I don't want to be there either, okay? But he put the desire. He puts his desires. That's even better. He puts his desires in you. Praise the Lord. He puts his desires in you, all righty? And so when we pray to know God, like the Ephesians prayer, he puts desires in us, not only to serve him, but to know him more. That's wonderful. He does that because he wants to be known, all right? So he'll put this in there. You got this churning thing going on the inside, okay? So when we pray that our eyes be open, that we would know him better, he starts opening up our spiritual eyes, and he actually helps us even to know him better. Because I am not that smart to figure all that out. So I'm so glad he puts the desires, and then he helps me to know him better, all righty? So everybody say, God wants to be known by you and me, all righty? Now, some of you are thinking here, go, oh, yeah, but I can't understand that Bible. Oh, you don't understand. How can I have a relationship with God? Or you're sitting there going, Pastor D, I don't understand. I get it. You're pastor. You can understand God. You can know God. I'm just a regular Joe Schmo. Pastor D, I can't know God like you know God because I don't even have the skills. Throw out your excuses. It says you can know him, and he'll give you the desire to know him. It has nothing to do with how intelligent you are, how many pieces of paper you don't have hanging on the wall. It has everything to do with desire, all right? And he puts on the inside of you, the day you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he puts this burning desire to know him. More and more and more, okay? So it's wonderful. So you do have a desire to know him. Just want to tell you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you know, when I think about that, I'm like, whoa, how about that? I got this desire to know him. That means I can be spiritual. Yeah, because some people think, oh, you know, that's so cool. Yeah, but because of that desire, you can, everyone in this room can be real spiritual. Every one of us can have this relationship with the Lord. Every single one of us, no matter how long you've known the Lord, you've received Jesus, you can have this desire to know him more. You can actually then know him more. So praise God. Praise God. I can know him more. All righty. All right, now I'm flipping back here. So on week one, I gave you 6 principles to obtain any goal, whether it's a physical goal or a spiritual goal, any goal, 6 principles. And we're going to run through them with our title of our lessons, hashtag know God, know God better. So we're going to go through them today so you know how to know him better, all right? So the first one, the goal number one, the first principle was number one is you had to name your goal. You had to name your goal. And it had to be exciting to you. Because, like, that one, I'm like, don't float my boat. Okay? But so you have to write something, pray about it. What is my goal? So I told you on week one, mine was to know God better. To know God better. That excites me. And by the way, that should excite all of you. So that you have to name your goal. And actually, what you do is you're naming where you want to end. You name what you want to end at, all right? So that was number one. Number two is you had to break it down. You have to break your goal down. And they're actually called action steps. So you have action steps on how you finish your goal, all right? So that was number two. The third one was prioritize that. How many of you remember that one? You had to stick it on your calendar. You had to pick a day and a time that you were going to actually do those action steps, all right? And by the way, it can't be the leftover. It can't be the leftover, all right? Because some of you, you don't got no leftovers at the end of the day, right? You don't. How many of you, like, I could use another, 10 hours in my day in order to get everything done? So the goal, I want to know God better, you got to put it down, write it down, put it in your phone where it beeps. Beeps. Oh, that's right. Okay. Because if you don't do that, you don't have leftovers. It's just not going to be. Praise the Lord. Funny story. So every once in a while, I'll go out to eat and I'll bring home some leftovers. And I'll get up the next morning and I'm like, shoot, what happened to my leftovers? Jesse ate them. All right. There's no leftovers. So that was my funny story. But hey, prioritize it. You put it on a calendar. You put it on a day. You put it on a time, okay? Number four was future your goals. And we're going to talk about that at the end. But future simply means staying focused on it. Like, I'm on it. I got it focused, okay? So that was number four. Number five was evaluate your goals. That means you tweak it. So today, you're all inspired to know God better, hashtag know God better, and you wrote that down, and you've got this plan, you got these steps, and you start doing it, and it's not working for you. The steps that you broke down aren't working for you, and it's not no fun. It's just no fun, all right? That's when you have to tweak it. Pull back, tweak it, and say, this isn't working, and I need to change some of my steps so I can make it to the finish line, all right? So that's what it's called, evaluate, all righty? So there's another part of evaluating, and let's say I've written my goal, hashtag know God better, and I've written these steps, and I've got it into my calendar, and I'm doing it. And then about a whole year goes by, and it's just not floating my boat. It's just not working anymore. There's just no joy in it, all right? That means you've taken it, your goal, as far as it can go, and now you have to tweak it so you can get a little bit higher and make it to the end, all right? Anybody who does routinely exercises, you can't do that same exercise for a whole year. I mean, in the beginning, it's going to work parts of your muscles, and then after a while, you got to change it up. You got to tweak it up. You got to raise it up so you can reach your goal. So you have to evaluate it. The last one was fight for it. So anyway, that was all a lesson one, and we're going to do it today, all righty? We're going to have a blast doing this, okay? Now, so we want to know God better, right? I want to know God better. And how many of you know in any relationship you have to spend time with that person, right? You have to have some communication conversations with that person, right? If you want to have a relationship, a lasting relationship, a joyful relationship, you got to have those things going on here, all right? So you have to have just that communication and talking, going back and forth in order to have a relationship, in order to know God better. So I'm going to give you three ways so you can get there. Three ways that you can know God better. All right, they're really simple. They're actually kind of natural, but on the other side, they're really kind of supernatural. If you do these three things, you know, name it, put it on, make steps and stuff like that, they'll just do great things in your life. So get ready. They're really simple. Ready? Three ways that you can know God better. All right? Number one, you have to have a Bible reading time. Oh, Pastor D, are you on that again? Yes, I am. Okay? If you want to know God better, you have to spend time reading this Bible. So number one. Number two, you have to have time in prayer. And we'll talk more about that. And you have to have time in worship. You do those three things and you are going to know God better. You will know God better. Praise the Lord. All right? And, you know, let me say, when you do those three things, it's actually hanging out with God. So you got to get your head on the right page. When I'm doing those things, I get to hang out with God. When I read the word, when I pray, and when I worship, I'm hanging out with God. We got this thing going on, all right? So there's three ways: through reading your Bible, through prayer, and through worship, and we're going to talk about them. Now, there's hundreds of different ways you can read your Bible, and there's hundreds of different ways you pray, but you have to have these three things so you can really know God better. And how many of you want to know God better this year? Man, I do. I really want to do. Okay. Now, funny thing about us folks here, us Christians, what I've noticed about me, I've done this, and what I noticed about you, so we have these spiritual leaders, and they know God really good, and they do this Bible reading, and they do this prayer, and they do this worship. And therefore, I say they're leaders, they're spiritual leaders. So I'm going to copy the way they do that. And you know what happens when I try copying them? It never ends good. Just, you know, it doesn't end good, all right? So I have to tell you, we're all wired differently. All right, so I'll tell you, hang on the story. I skipped a page here. Let's see. So, praise the Lord. I'm lost. I'm found. Where am I? All righty. Okay, spiritual leaders. So I try copy them, and I'm going to tell you this story in a little bit.
But for me, as a spiritual leader for the house here, I have to spend time reading the Bible. I have to spend time in prayer. And, you know, I'd say 90% of my day is dealing with problems. Yep. Usually when you're coming up the stairs to talk to me, it's like, we got a problem, Pastor D. Yeah, as a founder, I got a problem. So that's probably 90% of what I do. And so I'm dealing with problems and I'm helping people. And I also actually I'm considered sort of a business person. I have to deal with finances and make sure this is working and that. So praise the Lord. Being a pastor, it's joyful. It's wonderful. But guess what? I have to probably spend extra time. As a matter of fact, I do. I have to spend extra time in those three areas. If I don't, okay, if I don't, I'm not going to hear God. And if I don't, I'm not going to be able to stand strong. And if I don't, I'm not going to be able to hear God. And if I don't, I'm going to be mean and I want to bite your head off if I don't. All right? And I've bitten your heads off. Yeah, Pastor D's bitten the heads off, right, before, and just said the things. So I have to spend extra time because, and that you could say that's just my life. It's also some of the pressures of life. But every one of you sitting here, how many of you have a few pressures of life going on? Yeah. Just wait till the end of the week if you didn't raise your hand, okay? Because that's life, baby. That's just life, all right? So, but I will tell you, I promise you, I can give you $1 million and approve it. You do those three ways, those three things, having a regular reading time, a prayer time, and a worship time, it will change your life. It will make you smile and not bite so many heads off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you a story. This past week, Sherry and I were, you know, at this conference, and we were staying at, I'm not telling you what, hotel, and we got there Monday evening. I think I got up Tuesday, I took a hot shower, came back Tuesday night, it's cold water. Then Wednesday, there's no water. No water, no water, no cold water, no water. And I thought, okay, I'll do the birdie bath, you know. And okay, no water in the shower. Let me take that back. There was a trickle coming out of the spigot where you brought. And it was cold. So yeah. So we didn't do nothing with the hair on Wednesday. Thursday morning. Now, by the way, so we're at a minister's conference. There are eight spiritual leaders feeding you every hour on the hour, just incredible food, the Word of God, okay? And I am so big and fat on the Word of God. It is just wonderful, and just the presence of God. No, I don't want to say all that. So anyway, so I am just in this place, and Jersey did not come out. Okay, because I am filled and saturated in the presence of God and the Word of God and the worship of God and the prayer of God. So we would check into the ladies, the cute little girls. Why they put the cutest little girls at the front desk, and they are hearing nasty comments, just, you know, people grumpy. And we'd come down every day, you know, hi, we don't have any hot water. Hi, we don't have any water. Thursday morning, you have not because you asked not. I said, ma'am, I am going to this meeting. I'm leaving here. What time we leave? We were a little late that day. 8 something. We usually try to leave at 7:30. Don't go with Pastor Sherry here. She just loves getting up early. So I said, ma'am, I am leaving at 8 a.m. And I will have a hot shower. And I am smiling and I'm talking soft. You know when your mom talks soft. You know. But I was really in a good place because I have been saturated in the Word of God. And she says, she starts, you know those keys, things, the key plastic cards they stick in the door? She grabs, she says, I got 3 keys here. Just a minute, I'll be right back. All right, back. And she comes back. It felt like forever because I was so smelly and greasy and dirty. She comes back. She says, I got a room for you. I said, ma'am, I don't want to move rooms. I just want to take a hot shower. She goes, here's your key. So I go get my stuff, run down, take a shower, come back. And I said, here's the key. Get that next person in there. So all of that I have to say is, she goes, thank God, I was saturated in the Word of God. Because you know some of those stories about the girl from Jersey. But when I listen to this, there was that lady, Sherry, that lady. She did not get saturated because there were people barking at those ladies at the front desk. And they're the cutest little girls. And it wasn't their fault either that it was the manager. The manager, can you tell that? He did something dumb. He decided that day that he was going to clean out all the pipes. And see, it was really cold in Texas that week. It was down in the teens, which is really unusual because we've gone down there. It's 80 degrees. It was colder in Texas than it was here. And so I just assumed it was frozen pipes. So I was like, oh, cut them slack. It's frozen pipes. You know, you guys live in Texas. You know nothing about putting pipes in the ground. You know, found out it wasn't frozen pipes. That manager decided with a hotel full to the brim, all four floors, they were going to clean pipes out. Clean the gunk out. And they were cutting pipes and they couldn't get pipes back together. So anyway, that was too much story. Let's go back here. Okay. But I want to tell you, three-way spending time with this, doing this, and it will make you're not biting heads off. And God was so good to me. I went to that meeting with nice hair. Praise the Lord. It was so good. All right, if you're taking notes, because you are smarter than the fifth grader, write this. This is your post-it note for the week. Here we go. You won't spend time with God. You won't spend time with God if you don't enjoy your time with God. What's that mean? Shoo. All right. If you're reading your Bible and you're doing prayer and it is not enjoyable, it feels more like homework. You know those teachers that give you homework on Friday? If it feels like homework, all right, then you're not going to spend time with God. You're not going to get to, therefore, you're not going to get to know him, right? All right? So you need to find ways where it's fun. Where, okay, you don't like fun. Enjoyable, okay? You need to find ways for reading your Bible in prayer and worship where you enjoy it. Because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it. And I'm going to give you some ways, hopefully, you're going to get it. All righty? All right. Now, way long, long time ago in a far, far away place, about 40 years ago when Jack and I were at the Bible school there, we both had, now he went the first 2 years and then I slid in on the third year. He'd already gone out. But we both had the same teacher. We could call him a spiritual leader. And he was about 65 at the time. And he would come in and tell stories about how he was up all night reading his Bible all night, praying all night, worshiping God all night. And I thought, wow, I have to do that in order to be spiritual and this, you know, just hit the 10 with knowing God. And the only problem is I tried that. I couldn't do it. And therefore, I was frustrated and I felt shame. Like, you are a pitiful Christian. You can't stay up all night reading and praying and worshiping God. It just, you know, blew me away. So but then I got a little smarter because I try this regularly. And then I realized, hey, we are totally different. This guy is 65. Back then, they retired at 65. Now, when do you retire? When Jesus calls you home. Okay. Because, you know, such and such money isn't going to. Okay. So anyway, this guy, that's a bad confession. Watch your words, Pastor D. Hallelujah. So this guy, listen, and any of you know me, I am not a stay up all night kind of person. I am not stay up late at all. Ask my kids. Between 9:30 and 10:30, I get this look. And they call it, Mom hit the wall. Put her to bed. So they actually say, oh, she hit the wall. And I even say, oh, I hit the wall. I'm going to bed. I don't care if my house is full. I hit the wall. I'm going to bed. Okay? So I knew I am totally different than this guy. And then a little later, light bulb's going off. He's retired. By the way, he was one of the, I wasn't retired back then. The school that we went to, Rainbow Bible Training Center, was a part-time school. It was just in the morning, okay? And then the last bell hit, and man, don't get out of the way. Everybody's peeling out of that parking lot, and they're heading to work because we all had jobs. So this guy didn't have a job except for he taught two classes, and he comes strolling in the office like three or something like that, and he'd work for a little bit, and he'd go home. And then he'd stay up all night. Yeah. I'm glad he could do it, but I couldn't do that, okay? Because first off, I had to be up at 6, so in order to get to school, and then we'd hop in the car, and we'd go to work, and then we were involved in church, and then, gee whiz, golly, if they ever gave you homework, okay? I could not stay up all night. And it just, it messed me up for a while because I was trying to copy somebody who I was not. So look at that person and say, I'm not you. Thank God. Most of you, I'm going, thank God I'm not you, all right? Okay. So we're talking about three ways you can get to know God, hang out with God and know him. And there's something else about that is, you know, Jack and I had different ways that we hung out with God. Now, we did the read your Bible and we did the prayer and we did the worship. But let me tell you about Jack. He'd get up at like 5, okay, and have coffee. Those are the only two things we did the same. Not 5, but the coffee. So he'd get up at, yeah. So he'd get up at 5 and he'd be reading his Bible. How many of you ever looked at one of Pastor Jack's Bibles? Yeah. How many colors? He's got it all underlined, at least 3 colors, and those colors mean something. I used to know what they meant, like a red was this and the blue was that. Yeah, okay. And then he'd take this little pencil, not the number 2 yellow one, this, what do you call those? Mechanical print. Yeah, we have a truckload of those things. So, and he'd write in his Bible. It's at 5 o'clock in the morning. Lucky if you knew where the pencil was, right? He's writing, and he's writing. You needed a microscope to read what he wrote. And he'd sit there and write notes as God talked to him. Okay, and then he'd start praying loud. Loud. How do I know? Because in the spring through the fall, he would have a jacket in the spring and the fall. But in the summertime, he'd sit out in the deck, and the deck is above our bedroom. And that window wasn't open. I learned that day one. But he's loud. He's praying about you all, praying about life, loud, 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 and worship. Now, he didn't do worship so much at home. I think he did worship more in the car because I'd find those CDs and stuff. And it was loud music, okay? Now, me, I'd get up at, now, especially when I had little kids, I'd get up 15 minutes before the kids get up. Because, you know, how many of your babies get up in the middle of the night? That man never got up in the middle of the night. Never. He didn't hear a thing. We're going to talk about that when we get to heaven. God, did you really not hear anything? You just faked it. That meant you were smarter than I was, right? Okay. So I wouldn't get up real, real early because, you know, so, and I'd read the Bible for like 15 minutes. 15 minutes was like a million hours. When you got, you're a mom, you got little babies and stuff like that, been up through the night and da, 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 da. Okay. And then, this is what I used to do, when I first had that, I'd read. I had a Bible plan where I'd read through the Bible in 1 year. Anybody ever done one of those? Okay. And man, they had to be short. And sometimes they'd give you like 5 books. You get the Book of Leviticus and whatever and ever. And I'm like, okay. And the begats. I just started the first one. He begat this, and then I just go. Psh. I don't even read the names, and I go that, so I could get it done. And that was my Bible reading time. And then prayer. Prayer was like. Okay, be nice, D. Prayer. Okay, let's just say prayer. I did prayer. Now, this is like 35 years later, and I get up, and I'll spend time reading my Bible. And as I'm reading the Bible, I'm letting it talk to me. And then, this happens all the time. All of a sudden, I'm like, ooh, that's going to be a good message. And I write it in my little book of possible messages, thoughts, and ideas. And now, I've probably about 15 years ago, I started doing a journal. Anybody know about journaling? It's where you read the Bible, and you just write down some things. And then, 5 years ago, I said, hey, soap it up. Soap, meaning you get your journal, and S is you read a scripture, it speaks to you, you write it down. O, what did you observe from that scripture? Like, and A-S-O-A, yeah, A is next. How do you apply it in your life? Because it's one thing to quote a scripture. It is a horse of a different color to apply it in your life. Yeah? Right? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know? Okay, I love saying that one. Okay, and the P part is prayer, S-O-A-P, prayer. And this is how I do it now. I write my prayer out. Some of you are going, I ain't doing that. Are you kidding me? I quit. All right. I write my prayers out. And then it just speaks to me. Okay. So I'll tell you all of that is that Jack and I are like on 2 different planets when it came to doing those 3 ways to get to know God and hang out God. But guess what? They worked for me. That worked for me. Mine worked for me. It worked for me. And guys, you have to find what works for you if you want to know God better. All right, so you're going to go, I'm not doing what Pastor D did. That is not fun. That's okay. Go find what works for you, all right? Find your goal, set your steps and stuff like that, okay? So what I'm really saying is you need to find your groove that works for you, that you enjoy, that you will make it to the finish line, all right? So, but if you want me to tell you what to do, I love telling people what to do. I love telling my people what to do. It is like my new joy in life. And I tell everybody, I usually do it with a smile. I can tell you what to do with a smile. Like that lady, I said, I am going to this meeting, and by 8 o'clock, I will have had a hot shower. Yeah. She can do it. Yep, ma'am. All right. All right. So let's talk about how you find your groove and enjoy it, okay? And this is for Bible reading. If you're taking notes, the first one was reading your Bible, all right? So reading your Bible is listening to God. Reading your Bible is God speaking. Isn't that crazy easy? That's what this is. You have to see this is God speaking. It's God talking. Otherwise, it's like a college textbook, and you're like, gosh, terrible, all right? So reading your Bible. Now, remember, if you want to be close to somebody, you want to have a best friend, you have to listen to them, and you have to communicate. So this is what this is, all right? So reading your Bible, all righty? Now, interesting. This is this invisible God, and this Bible is speaking. This Word of God actually speaks, and it does some awesome things in your life. And if you actually know this, you are like, you can't keep me from not doing this. Okay, so we were flying, and I had planned on putting my Bible in my suitcase, and I took this Kindle with me so I could read on the airplane. No distractions. And you know how you do this? You put headphones on. And then the people, it's like, don't talk to me. I got my headphones on. Doesn't that say that? Don't talk to me. So I put it in the Kindle. I don't know. I hit the button and it didn't have any charge in. I was like bumming out because I wanted to know God better. And I had 3 hours just to, don't talk to me. I'm going to read. All right. So anyway, you know what the Bible says about the Bible? You know what the Bible says about the Bible? It says, God called men of old and he spoke to them and he gave them words to write. Then, listen, it's just not a Joe Schmo. These were anointed words that God gave men to write the Bible out. Okay, they're not ordinary words. Then the Bible says, that the Bible is alive and it speaks. So, if you want to know God better, right, you have to do this. Okay, listen to Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12. Let's see if I can find that piece of paper. Oh, yeah, here we go. Hebrews 4:12. Phew. Some days I think about being God, and I go, what? You spoke to men of old and gave them words, and you let them write it? You know, some of you, I give you directions. I'm going, are they going to make it down the hall? Remember all the directions? You know, not you. Somebody says, these other people, not you, okay. Yeah, what? Not you guys. Okay. But listen, it was God through the Holy Spirit speaking to people, and they wrote these words, and they are life. Praise the Lord. Okay, you all at Hebrews 4:12? Here we go. I'm reading that out of the Amplified. The Amplified has a lot of words, but listen to this. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal, the spirit, and of joints and marrows. Of the deepest parts of its nature, this is what this Bible does. It hits the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging every thought, the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. Praise God. I like that. So listen, it's really simple. You look at this Bible that you have and realize it is alive and it is going to speak to you and it'll get inside your thoughts. It'll get in your thinking, all right? And it'll energize you. It'll cause life in you. It'll cause things to fall off of you that shouldn't be on you. This is the most exciting thing, the Word of God. And I like that last part. It says, exposing and sifting and analyzing, judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. Now, generally speaking, I don't want you to know what my thoughts and purposes are in my heart. That's kind of a negative thing. But no. This really is a positive thing when it's the Word of God. This is so cool that it'll get inside of here. Okay, it'll start washing things inside of here in my heart and my thoughts. Woo! And then, you know, it'll just make me a better person. So when I read my Bible, every time I read my Bible, I think, whoa, that is so cool. And I'll see something I've read hundreds and hundreds of times, and all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, light bulbs go off. You know, we call that revelation knowledge. Had revelation knowledge, you know. It was talking to me. That's all it means. This was started talking to me. And when it's talking to you, you start telling everybody about it, right? You grab your honey, and you go, man, did you, let me tell you what I read in the morning. And they're like, I knew that. No, but it was revelation knowledge. It was light bulbs going off. That's the Word of God. Praise God. All righty. Now, praise God. If you don't look at anybody, don't look, just look straight ahead. If you don't have some kind of Bible reading time, can I just encourage you, just start 5 minutes. Put it, no shame. God, I told you I started with 15 minutes and I was the pastor's wife, okay? Start with 5 minutes, that's cool. Start with 5 minutes, all right? And find time as many days as you can. Will you crack open that Bible, all righty? Because of the wonderful things it does, it will change you. All right. So I wasn't going to say this, but I'm like, I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay. So you see people that are acting all goofy, grumpy, stupid, mean. You know what it tells me? You need to go in the corner and sit and read your Bible. I really just want to say, don't talk to me until you read your Bible, all right? Right? It's believers that are acting goofy, you're not reading your Bible. You are not letting it wash. You're not letting it change you. You're not letting it talk to you. Because you're acting like a... Shh, who said? Don't say that. Okay. All right. All right. So we're gonna write our gold, hashtag know God better. We're going to write steps. Steps are just active things that you can do. So I'm going to give you some tools so you can get a Bible plan, all right? Now, ready? Can you pop those up on the screen, guys, all right? The first one, go to this website, BibleStudyTools.com. That's not it. BibleStudyTools.com, all right? It has 17 plans on how to read your Bible. One of them, I was like, no, I'm not doing that one. Read your Bible, the whole Bible, in 90 days. I'm like, nope, not doing that one. I'm not 65 and retired. That's why I'm not doing that one. They have how to read your Bible, the New Testament. How do you read your Bible what's that word? Chronological order. You know, sometimes you think, especially you get to the Gospels, you're like, he says it's over here, and then he says it over here. Why does that make any sense? It's written so it's in chronological order. You're like, oh. Okay, I see it. All right. But they've got 17 different plans. Pick one. And the one you enjoy. Because listen, reading a whole Bible in 90 days, I'm not retired, so I can't do that. All right. All right. The other one is BibleGateway.com. I learned this from Sherry years ago. BibleGateway.com. Praise the Lord. It has 18 different plans. And listen to this one. They have this thing called Bible Engagement Practices. It means you press the button and the Bible talks to you. You don't have to read it. Okay, but you should read. But some days you like just press the button, all right? And it's a plan to read you all the way through the whole year. All right, so they got a whole bunch of things. And then there's YouVersion Bible. Anybody have that on their cell phone? That's where I first got that. Okay, they have plans on the Bible that it'll just, you can read it or you can press the little speaker and it starts talking to you. Now listen to the one about the Bible tools. That I was preparing this, and it said at the bottom, number one, this is after they tell you all the plans, but at the bottom of all 17 plans, number one, start reading today. Hey, that's a good goal. Hashtag start reading today. All right. Number two, it says, set aside a specific time. Well, sounds like my message. All right. Each day, set your schedule and stick to it. Number three, read the Bible for the sake of learning, revelation, speaking, light bulbs. Not so, ka-chink, I checked it off. Cha-chink, I checked it off. All right. It says, say, this was so good. Pastor Jack used to say this, and I didn't listen to him the first 15 years, and then I realized, oh, I should listen to him. That was really good. So listen to me now, day one. Don't wait 15 years. Say a prayer before you start. Before you open that Bible, go, Father God, I thank you for your word. It speaks to me this morning. It speaks to me tonight. It speaks to me, all right? And I thank you that it gives me revelation, knowledge, and direction in my life. And then open up your Bible. Isn't that? So anyway, I thought that was great. All right, so enough about reading your Bible. If you want to know God better, you will have to get this word in you, all right? And find a way that it works for you. Find a way that you enjoy it, all right? Find a way. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. Some of you, okay, so Joy asked me, how was it hanging out with Sherry? I said, oh my gosh, she talks all the time. All the time, she just talks. And I'm a different person. I talk, but then I'm like, I'm done. But Sherry, man, okay, so Sherry's got prayer down, and I'm getting prayer down. Prayer is talking to God. Say, I love my mama. Okay, you and I are not going to have a relationship God unless you start talking to him. You're going to have you want this lovely relationship with your BFF? It could be your spouse. You got to start talking, all right? So prayer is talking to God. You're going to have prayer time, talking to God in order to have this happen. Oh, don't look behind you. Just keep your eyes up front. Oh my gosh, I'm having fun. Here we go. Two ways Christians can pray. Two ways, all right? That's not hard. In your known language. Okay, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, okay, then moved to Jersey, then to Oklahoma, and here. Guess what my native language is? English. Okay, that was just like hard, right? English. So when I pray, I'm praying in English, okay? Miss Nancy, probably you pray in whatever Dominican Republic is that. Spanish, thank you. So sorry. Okay, pray what's natural to you. Okay, that's one way to pray. The other way you can pray is pray in the Spirit. So if you've asked the Holy Spirit to fill you and you have your prayer language, that's another way of praying. And now, if you know about that, awesome, do it. If you don't know about that, come and see me, Pastor Sherry. Raise your hands if you're an elder. Raise your hand. If you are a grow group leader, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Go talk to them. Or see Miss Kathy. She's got this beautiful bookstore. We got books on that, okay? Go to the bookstore. They'll help you find books, but I don't want to get into that right now, okay? Open up to Psalm 5:3. Some of you are not going to like this one. Ready? Psalm 5:3. Each morning I look to you in heaven. Each what? Each morning I look to you in heaven and lay my requests before you, praying earnestly. Some of you are going, oh my God, I am not a morning person. That's okay. Be an afternoon person. But each day, go to him in prayer. All right. Now, how many of you just pray off of the day? You know? You just, somebody, God put somebody on your mind and you just heard a bad report about it and you start praying for them. You want that parking space because you got to get moving and you pray about that, all right? You're just praying all day long. I pray spiritual things besides parking places. I do, I really do. But, and listen, so those are what I call my whisper prayers, I pray them all day long. Things happen, so I think of something, I just start praying there. But listen, this is different. You need to set a time, put it on your calendar, mark it on there, where you go in and you have time talking to God. And when you have time talking to God, I talk to him about this and that. I ask him to do things. And then, it took me a long time to this, then I just get quiet. Margie, you get quiet after prayer? Like you go, blah, 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 and then I get quiet and God will start talking to me. All right, but if you don't schedule that time, and you're not talking to him in prayer, he's not going to be talking to you. So write it there. I'm going to pray prayer time. And start with a scheduled 5 minutes. 5 minutes, okay? So I've really had to adjust over the years because I could sit with my Bible for hours and I was lacking poorly on the prayer time, okay? So I'm shaking it up so it works for me, all righty? Praise the Lord. Anybody ever, okay, so I got received Jesus years and years and years ago in a far, far away place, and I knew about four prayers. Hail Mary, Our Father, the act of contrition, bless me, Lord, and the food. I didn't know prayer, all right? By the way, just a pet peeve, y'all need to teach your kids the Our Father, because that was the one prayer I did know, and that has big stuff in there, all right? And we are just, you got to be teachers of your kids, all right? Teach your kids the Our Father. Okay, back on track. So I didn't know nothing about prayer, and someone gave me prayers that availeth much. Anybody I tell that. I wore the cover off it. They got prayers that avail much for grandmothers. They got prayers that avail much for fathers, for wives, for husbands, for children, for teens. Go back in. You walk in the bookstore and turn. What hand is this? Right in the corner. Two shelves of prayers that availeth much. And they are prayers. They take the word of God and they type it up. Okay, and they type up this prayer at the bottom. They give you the references, and I would say them over and over and over and over and over and over until I got prayer in me. And now I don't go to those books, but it took me a long time to get the scriptures that I would pray in me. How many of you have prayers that avail much? Oh, the rest of you got to go get them. They're good. You just go get them. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me wrap up. Let's talk about worship. Worship is hanging out with God. Did you notice I didn't say singing? I didn't say worship team. I just said worship is hanging out with God. Worship is hanging out with God. Worship is hanging out with God. All right. Now, how many of your moms said, they quoted a scripture, but you can write it down. 1 Corinthians 15:13. Bad company corrupts good character. How many of your mamas used to say something close to that? You hang around those bad kids, you gotta get out of. Okay. Bad company corrupts good character. All right. Well, the opposite is true. Good company makes good character. Good company makes good character. Y'all are good people, good character, all right? Now, how many of you know the people that you hang with start rubbing off on you? That's why your mama said bad company corrupts good character. Okay. Worship is hanging out with God. You hang out with God. It rubs off on you. How many of you came in hanging on too many things this morning? Like you just weren't in the merry, merry, ho, 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 happy, happies. And then we had worship. And how many of you felt better after worship? Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's rubbing off. That's just one note. Woo! Okay, get ready. Praise the Lord. Get into worship and it rubs off on you. It does great things on you. All right, just write this down. Revelations 4:6-7. Read it this week, but I'm going to tell you about it. This is a picture of what goes on in heaven. You ever wonder what goes on in heaven? Revelation 4:6-7 tells you. What goes on in heaven is there's these four creatures, okay? And they all have different faces and they each have six wings. And on their wings, sounds like a sci-fi, but it's really true. On their wings, they have eyeballs. On the front of them, they have eyeballs on the back, and on their faces, they have all these eyeballs, okay? So I know it sounds like sci-fi, but it's really true. And you know what they're doing? Do you know what those four creatures are doing in heaven all the time? 24/7, worshiping God, worship. They're in worship. And some of them only know one word, holy, holy, holy. You're now a worshiper. Can't go wrong. Now, I'm only kidding on that, but. Seriously, they are worshiping, and worship just, okay, this is a good word here, permeates all of heaven. Wow. So why would I want to worship? Because some of you, me, I need all of that just permeating my life, okay? You get in times of worship, and life doesn't look so bad afterwards, okay? Also, y'all know this. It says God inhabits the praises. Or let's put worship in there. God inhabits worship. God, so that meant during our worship time, guess who was inhabiting him? Yeah. God was there. God is there when we worship, all right? That means the presence of God is just going all over when I'm in worship. When I'm in worship, all right? So how many of you need to have some things rub off on you? Good things. Get into some times of worship, all right? Now, I'm not, like I said, Jack would do loud. I'm a soft worshiper, okay? I'll put on a soft CD or I just start singing and don't you dare tape it, okay? It's just me and Jesus just worshiping. And he says he's inhabiting my praises. I'm like, woo-hoo, he really loves me, okay? Praise God. So worship, 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 worship. He inhabits the praises, all righty? Now, this is so funny, okay. So any of you know about road rage? You know why I put a CD on in the car? So I don't get into that road rage. But it was bad. I was like, we were late for this plane, looking like that. And I was like, look, you idiot, get out of the way. What are you doing in the left lane? Are you kidding me? Blah, blah, blah. I didn't have any worship music going on. It is a good deal. It is a good deal. Put worship music on if you got that problem, okay? So put worship on. If you're, this is really cool. You could just, you know, all the kids around, just walk in, put some worship music on. It changes the atmosphere. This is not made up stuff, guys. This is heaven on earth. This will change your atmosphere. And it is, you'll be smiling and God's just moving and it just starts changing with you. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to skip my last part because I'm going, did you see what time it is? Oh my gosh. Praise the Lord. How many of you want to know God better? Praise God. How many know that you can know God better? Hey, let's give him praise. Father, I thank you that we can know and pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this truth. We thank you that you want to be known and we want to know you. We thank you for the ways that we can hang out with you. I thank you, Father, you're speaking to people all through this message on how they can know and spend time with you, Father, in an enjoyable way. And I thank you, it transforms us when we spend time with you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around, look at the clock. Oh my gosh, praise the Lord. Hey, if you would like prayer, my elders will be up front. My grow group leaders will be up front. You are blessed. You've been in the presence of the word and worship. Go to the world. Tell them about Jesus. I love you. Please come on Wednesday. We have prayer here for York. In Jesus' name, amen.